Nashville has zero state income tax. Yet somehow, the average single professional is scraping the bottom of their checking account by the 25th of the month. Welcome back to the Run Home Rentals podcast. I'm your host, and today we are finding out exactly where that money is going.
And this, episode 4, today we're diving into how much you really need to make to live comfortably in Nashville in 2026.
Because, you know, comfortable is just this vague, fuzzy word. Everyone uses it, but nobody actually defines it.
Right. It means something different to everybody.
Exactly. So our mission for this deep dive, which is based directly on the guide we just published, is to cut through the fluff. We are skipping the outdated internet estimates and defining what comfortable actually costs in real dollars, bracket by bracket.
And look, the Run Home Rentals team spends every single day in the Nashville real estate trenches. I mean, we aren't sitting in an ivory tower looking at spreadsheets.
Yeah, we're actually out.
Exactly. We are combining the hard data from the MIT Living Wage Calculator and the Economic Policy Institute with our own on-the-ground reality. We want to know what people are actually paying and, you know, what landlords are actually accepting right now.
So let's start with a massive reality check. Right now, in 2026, the median household income in Nashville sits at roughly $79,000.
Okay.
Meanwhile, our cost of living index is 103. And if you aren't familiar with that metric, just think of 100 as the dead center American average.
Right, it's the baseline.
Yeah. At 103, for every $100 you would spend in a perfectly average U.S. town, you're spending $103 here. But the trick is,
that extra $3 isn't evenly distributed.
Right.
It is almost entirely driven by housing costs. It's not your grocery bill or your gas tank.
Wow. So it's heavily weighted.
Heavily. That housing premium changes everything. It means the math is incredibly tight and it forces a lot of people to redefine their expectations.
Which makes sense.
Yeah. If you don't understand how housing weights that 103 index, I mean, you can easily miscalculate your entire budget before you even unpack your boxes.
Okay. So if housing is the primary driver, let's start at the foundation, which is renting as a single professional or a couple.
Makes sense.
Before we layer on the complexities of buying property or, you know, having kids, what does it take for a single person to just exist comfortably here?
Well, for a single professional renting a one-bedroom apartment right now, you need to be making between $60,000 and $75,000 a year.
Okay.
Your total monthly spend will hover around $4,200 to $5,400. And the biggest chunk is rent, coming in at $1,500 to $1,800 for a standard one-bedroom in a safe, accessible neighborhood.
Standard meaning?
Meaning that $1,800 isn't getting you a luxury penthouse. You are getting a basic apartment with vinyl floors and, like, standard appliances.
Man, I have to ask about how we got there, though. Because rents climbed an absolutely staggering 28% between 2020 and 2026.
Yeah, they really did.
And salaries in Nashville certainly did not jump 28% in that same window. So what was the mechanism behind that spike? Did landlords just all decide to get greedy at the exact same time?
Well, no, it's a classic supply and demand crush, but it was fueled by corporate migration.
The big tech companies.
Exactly. When massive tech and finance companies expanded their footprint here, they imported thousands of high-earning workers, and developers saw that demographic shift.
And also, they built for them.
Right. They overwhelmingly focused their capital on building luxury apartments to capture that top-tier income. So the middle-tier inventory completely stagnated.
Wow. So you're stuck in the middle.
Yeah. If you're making an average salary today, you're competing for a shrinking pool of mid-range apartments against people who keep getting priced out of the luxury tier.
That is rough. So if I'm making $50,000, am I just out of luck? Because I view discretionary income as a kind of a financial shock absorber.
I like that.
Right. Because if you're dropping $1,800 just to keep a roof over your head and then paying for groceries, a car payment, utilities, that shock absorber gets dangerously thin. What compromises do you actually have to make?
You aren't completely out of luck, but you are out of the comfortable zone if you try to live the, you know, textbook Nashville lifestyle.
You have to give something up.
You have to make structural compromises. You're getting a roommate. You're looking out in Antioch or Madison instead of the Gulch or East Nashville.
Right.
You're cooking at home almost every night. I mean, it's a survival budget. Hitting that $65,000 to $75,000 mark is where you finally rebuild that shock absorber.
So you can actually breathe.
Exactly. That is the threshold where you can cover a surprise $400 car repair without having a full-blown panic attack.
Okay, so if single renters are feeling the squeeze, I imagine the dynamic completely flips for couples without kids. Because you've got two incomes pooling together, but you're still just splitting a two-bedroom apartment or like a modest starter home.
Oh, couples without kids are sitting in the absolute sweet spot of Nashville living right now.
Really, the sweet spot.
For sure. To be comfortable, you need a combined income of about $78,000 to $95,000. Your monthly spend goes up a bit, maybe $5,500 to $7,000, but the burden is shared across two earners.
So let's put real faces on this. Imagine you are a registered nurse making $72,000, and your partner is a public school teacher making, say, $58,000.
Great example.
Separately, as single renters, you would both be feeling that pressure we just talked about. But together, you clear $130,000 a year.
Which creates a highly comfortable lifestyle. You can take vacations, fully fund your retirement accounts, eat out without anxiety.
It's a game changer.
And there is a massive structural reason why that $130,000 goes so far here. Tennessee
Yeah.
has a 0% state income
Right,
tax.
the lack of income tax.
That is where dual income households really feel the benefit. That nurse and teacher get to keep thousands of dollars more every single year than they would if they lived in states like Illinois or California.
It's essentially an automatic built-in raise just for crossing the state line.
Yeah, the leverage of two incomes against zero income tax is basically the financial engine of the city right now.
So we see how dual incomes shield couples, but that shield can crack pretty fast under the weight of the two biggest financial jumps a human can make, adding kids and buying a house.
Oh, yeah. The game completely changes.
Let's look at families of four. The Economic Policy Institute, the EPI, estimates that a modest, comfortable budget for a family of four in Nashville is $96,928.
I know where you're going with this.
I just have a really hard time believing that number.
Yeah.
Under 97K for a family of four to be comfortable here.
Well, to defend the EPI's methodology for a second, their data encompasses the entire metropolitan statistical area.
So they're including the outskirts.
Right. They are factoring in housing costs in rural counties that sit 45 minutes or an hour outside the city center to get that average.
Okay, but if you want to be within a reasonable commute to downtown Nashville, or you want your kids in the premium school districts, $96,000 won't even get you in the door. Our realistic target for a family of four to actually breathe easy has to be closer to $100,000 or $110,000, right?
Absolutely, because parents carry around this invisible backpack of expenses that regional averages often gloss over.
The invisible backpack. I like that. And childcare has to be the heaviest weight in there.
Oh, by far.
The average cost of childcare in Tennessee right now is $5,857 per child per year. For two kids, you're dropping almost 12 grand before you buy a single diaper or a pair of soccer cleats. Why is that base cost so high here?
It comes down to strict state-mandated staff-to-child ratios, soaring commercial real estate costs for the daycare facilities themselves, and honestly, the skyrocketing cost of liability
Oh,
insurance.
just the overhead.
Yeah, childcare is a heavily regulated, labor-intensive industry. Facilities have to pass those operational costs directly down to parents.
So if childcare is relatively fixed, geography has to be the primary lever parents pull to make the math work, right?
Yeah.
How does moving within the Nashville area change this?
It changes the entire equation. As we cover in our suburbs guide at runhomerentals.com, moving to a premium school district like Williamson County, places like Franklin, Brentwood, or Nolensville pushes that income requirement way up.
Because the houses are more expensive.
Exactly. To afford the median home there and maintain that comfortable lifestyle, you really need a household income of $130,000 or more.
Right.
But if you look east to Wilson County, like Mount Juliet, or north to Sumner County, the housing costs drop by $200,000 to $400,000.
That is a massive drop.
It is. And suddenly your comfortable threshold drops back down to that $90,000 to $100,000 range.
So you're basically trading a longer commute for a thicker financial shock absorber.
Exactly.
Now, what about the other major life leap? The single home buyer. Buying property on one income in 2026 feels like climbing Mount Everest in flip-flops.
It really does.
The median home price in Nashville is $425,000. If I'm buying that at today's interest rates of roughly 6.2% and putting 20% down, my monthly all-in cost for the mortgage, property tax, and insurance is going to be between $2,800 and $3,400.
Which means to carry that comfortably without being totally house poor, a single buyer really needs an income of $80,000 to $100,000, and preferably towards the top of that range.
But a single person making $85,000 buying a $425,000 house seems incredibly risky. I mean, one bad medical bill or a blown transmission in the default. Are single buyers actually buying at the median?
No, they rarely buy at the median. The smart ones don't, anyway. What the rentals team sees constantly on the ground is that single buyers start with condos or townhomes.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, they look in the $250,000 to $350,000 range in neighborhoods like Madison, Donelson, or Hermitage.
Why specifically those areas?
Because they have a higher concentration of older multifamily developments built in the 80s and 90s, which serve as crucial entry points.
So it's more accessible.
Much more. Buying a $300,000 condo brings that monthly cost down to a much more manageable $1,800 to $2,500. It allows them to get on the property ladder, build equity, and stabilize their housing costs against future rent hikes without taking on catastrophic risk.
Okay, so we've locked in what the Nashville ecosystem looks like, but people don't make relocation decisions in a vacuum. If you're packing up a moving truck, you're almost certainly weighing Nashville against the other heavyweights. So let's dig into the Southern Showdown.
I love this part. When people talk to us about moving, they are almost always comparing Nashville to three specific cities: Charlotte, Atlanta, and Austin.
Okay, let's start with Charlotte. On paper, Charlotte looks incredibly attractive. The housing is cheaper, with a median home around $390,000 compared to our $425,000.
Right.
They also have a lower cost of living index, 95.7, compared to our 103. So if housing and daily living are both cheaper, does Charlotte just win the math test?
Not necessarily, because you have to factor in the tax illusion.
The tax illusion.
Yeah. Charlotte is cheaper on the sticker price, but North Carolina has a 3.99% state income tax.
Oh, right.
Your house might cost a little less, but the state government is constantly clawing back your weekly earnings before you even see your paycheck. If you take that same $130,000 dual income household we talked about earlier, Nashville's 0% tax rate saves them about $5,200 every single year compared to Charlotte.
Wow, $5,000 a year.
Over a decade, that's $52,000 in your pocket. So Nashville closes the gap on take-home pay very quickly.
That is a massive blind spot for people moving from out of state. They look at the listing price, but forget to run the payroll calculator. Okay, what about Atlanta?
Atlanta's a different beast.
Their cost of living index is 107, making it more expensive than Nashville, and Georgia hits you with a 5.49% state income tax. That same $130,000 household is paying over $7,100 a year in state taxes.
Yep.
Add in the legendary soul-crushing traffic. Why do people still move there?
It comes down to the corporate ceiling and the physical infrastructure that supports it.
Like the airport.
Exactly. Atlanta has a vastly larger, more diversified job market, and the mechanism behind that is Hartsfield-Jackson Airport. Being the busiest airport in the world makes Atlanta an international logistics and travel hub.
And that brings the jobs.
That infrastructure draws massive Fortune 500 headquarters. And a headquarters doesn't just bring executive jobs. It brings a massive vendor ecosystem. You know, specialized ad agencies, corporate law firms, large-scale catering.
So the infrastructure dictates the corporate presence, which dictates the salaries.
Precisely. If you work in healthcare, music, or hospitality, Nashville is incredible. But if you're in specialized tech sectors, large-scale finance, or global logistics, Atlanta offers a higher career ceiling and more lateral mobility.
It's worth the traffic for them.
You pay a premium in taxes and traffic, but the higher earning potential in those specific fields makes it worth it for a lot of professionals.
Finally, let's look at Austin, Texas, the other great southern boomtown.
Austin is fascinating because it matches Nashville on two huge macro metrics. Texas also has no state income tax, and Austin's cost of living index is exactly 103.
But their housing market is fundamentally different. The median home in Austin is a whopping $535,000. That is $110,000 higher than Nashville.
It's wild.
If the cost of living index is the same, why is their housing so deeply detached from ours?
Hyper-concentration of a single industry. Austin absorbed a massive, rapid influx of Silicon Valley tech giants over the last decade.
Just totally flooded the market.
Yeah, that created a localized economy of incredibly high earners bidding up a limited housing supply. Nashville has tremendous growth, but our economy is spread across healthcare, education, entertainment, and tourism.
We're more diverse.
Exactly. So if you're a senior software engineer pulling down Austin tech money, maybe you don't care about a $535,000 median home.
Right.
But for a non-tech, middle-class professional, Austin is incredibly tough to crack right now.
So if we evaluate the whole board, Nashville isn't the screaming bargain it was in 2018, but it offers the optimal balance of tax structure and living costs for a middle-class professional. You get to keep what you earn, and you don't have to compete against a tidal wave of Silicon Valley salaries just to buy a starter home.
Correct. But taking advantage of that balance requires navigating the micro traps that catch newcomers completely off guard.
Right. The macro numbers look good, but the daily reality is often death by a thousand cuts. What are the biggest hidden costs people fail to budget for when they pack up that U-Haul.
The first major trap is HOA fees.
Oh, everybody hates those.
Nashville has exploded with new construction, especially townhomes and planned communities in the suburbs. Because developers are cramming more units onto smaller plots of land, they create shared infrastructure that requires heavy maintenance.
And someone has to pay for it.
Those HOA fees usually run $150 to $400 a month. That is a massive hit to your monthly budget that isn't reflected in your mortgage interest rate.
And if you're already stretching to afford the mortgage, a $300 HOA fee pushes you right over the edge. What else?
The summer utility spike. If you're moving from a milder climate, you might not realize the sheer physical demand placed on HVAC systems here.
It gets so humid.
Cooling a three-bedroom house against 90% humidity in a Tennessee July will spike your electric bill to $250 or even $400 a month, especially in older homes with poor insulation.
That's the physical environment. What about the economic environment? Because we brag about the 0% income tax, but the state still has to pay the roads and pay the teachers. Where's the government getting its money?
The money has to come from somewhere, and it comes from two places newcomers rarely calculate accurately. First, the Davidson County property tax.
Okay.
It runs about $2.92 to $3.25 per $100 of assessed value. If you buy a $400,000 home, you're paying around $3,000 a year in property taxes. If you're moving from somewhere where property taxes are negligible, that's a shock.
And second is the consumption tax. To subsidize the lack of an income tax, Tennessee leans heavily on a combined state and local sales tax of 9.25%.
Correct. So when you move into that new house and go buy $5,000 worth of furniture and a new fridge, you're paying almost $500 just in taxes at the register.
It adds up fast.
It's a highly visible tax model. It penalizes you for spending money, which adds up incredibly fast when you're establishing a new household.
But the Run Home Rentals team hasn't just identified these traps. We've seen firsthand how people can counter them. Our latest article details three specific strategies to navigate this market successfully.
Strategy number one is the most effective lever you have. Pick the suburb, not the neighborhood. This is where people get tripped up by ego or aesthetics.
How so?
Well, the median rent for a space in Antioch is around $1,200. That exact same square footage in a trendy neighborhood like the Gulch is $2,400.
You're paying double.
You are paying double just for the zip code and proximity to nightlife. If you want to build that financial shock absorber, making a slight geographic compromise is the fastest way to do it.
You're living in the same metropolitan area, enjoying the same restaurants on the weekends, but your Tuesday night is $1,000 cheaper. So if geography is the first lever you pull, what do you do if you absolutely cannot move to the suburbs? How do you claw back your budget?
Strategy number two, negotiate your housing harder than your salary.
Really? Negotiate housing?
Yeah. A lot of people agonize over asking their boss for a 3% raise, but they blindly accept the first rent price they see. Right now, in 2026, homes are sitting on the market for an average of 102 days.
Because of the luxury apartment boom.
Exactly. Because developers overbuilt those luxury apartments we talked about earlier. Inventory is rising, which means landlords are flexible. Whether you're renting or buying, you have leverage. You can negotiate rent reductions, waived parking fees, or better lease terms.
A $200 a month rent reduction is $2,400 a year of post-tax money in your pocket. You'd have to earn almost $3,500 more at your job to see that kind of cash. Okay, and the third strategy.
Build a second income stream through real estate. We see this all the time at Run Home Rentals.
House hacking.
Yes. People buy a duplex, live in one side, and rent out the other. Or they buy a property with an accessory dwelling unit, an ADU, over the garage. Thanks to recent zoning changes, it is much easier to create these secondary spaces.
Which covers part of the mortgage.
Even a modest rental setup can add $500 to $1,500 a month in net income. That single-handedly changes you from just getting by to incredibly comfortable.
It's one of the best ways to completely rewrite your financial reality in Nashville. And if you're curious about how to actually execute that, we have a whole rental investing guide on the site that walks you through it step by step.
Right.
So we've covered the macro numbers, the geographic trade-offs, and hidden costs. But I want to zoom out one last time.
Sure.
If we look at the trajectory of Nashville, relying so heavily on a 9.25% sales tax and property taxes while importing thousands of new residents every month, what happens when the infrastructure buckles?
That is the defining question for the next decade. The 30% rule keeping housing costs below 30% of your gross income is non-negotiable here. People who ignore it end up house poor within 18 months. You have to make your housing choices deliberately, not emotionally. Because if Nashville continues importing high-earning workers to a state with zero income tax, the burden on public infrastructure is going to reach a breaking point.
The roads, the schools.
Sales and property taxes simply don't scale fast enough to fund a rapid transit system or build new schools at the pace we are growing. Eventually, the city will either have to dramatically raise property taxes, which destroys affordability, or watch its infrastructure crumble under the weight of its own success. It's a systemic tightrope.
And that is something every potential resident needs to factor into their 10-year plan. Don't just look at today's tax rate. Look at tomorrow's civic bill.
That's it for this episode of the Run Home Rentals podcast.
Visit runhomerentals.com for the full article and resources.
If you need a cash offer on your Nashville home, call us at 615-628-7460. Subscribe on YouTube and we'll see you next Monday.